Hello, everybody. What's that? What do you say? Ah, buenas noches. Ah, muy bien. Vamos a hablar puro español en esta noche, entonces. ¿Está bien conmigo? Bueno, vamos a alabar a Dios con todo el corazón. No es problema conmigo. Échale ganas, vámonos. Aleluya. Gloria a Cristo. Aleluya. Well, I'm happy that we've been in a lot of meetings. I'm kind of sad that this will be the last one for me here for a few days. Because God's really saving some folks and touching some folks, and it's a blessing for me to be here with y'all. And I want to tell you thank you for that. For letting me come here, all of you. In Jesus' name, hopefully I can work it out to come back later on. I have some dates. I'll talk to the leadership and we'll see about it. See if it's all right with them or not. But next time I'm going to bring my family. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before we get going, I'd like to pray with you. Would you please stand up one more time? Up and down, up and down, up and down. That's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Thank God. I just pray and ask God to fall in here on us in the name of Jesus. I thank God for His anointing and His grace and His mercy in Jesus' name. God, I bind any hindering spirits. I curse them by the blood and power of the cross of Calvary. I thank You for the blood. I thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You, God, that we can praise Your holy name. Thank You for countries that are free to worship You, God. Thank You, Lord, that the principalities and powers and demon spirits and rulers and governing demons are destroyed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We give all glory to God. We thank Him. I say we thank Him, church. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If y'all would please be seated. And let's just... That was not a formality, by the way. That was real. Demons are liars. Well, I haven't been going down through here saving nothing for y'all to the last. But I'll tell you, there's a couple of things on this piece of paper right here. But I was sitting back there looking at it a while ago. I thought, wow, how have I missed that? These are some pretty phenomenal things here. So I got a couple of them to talk about. And I'd like to tell you all these on this paper, which is there's five or six left. But I think you're going to be encouraged. And the way this is running here, I really didn't just plan it myself. God planned it. God planned it. He really did. And but the way it's running out here, I want to leave y'all on a note of joy and power in the Holy Ghost. Because when God's around, there's joy. When God's around, there's excitement. When God's around, power's flowing. You say, well, boy, I've been to a lot of churches and they really love God and there's not that excitement. I apologize, that's not my fault. That's not my fault. Before I go, if people give me a half a minute, I'll tell them about Jesus and joy will all of a sudden hit them. I mean, they'll all of a sudden say, is it really true? Could it really be possible that God's power might be going to flow through us? Is it really true that God's ability is really out there for us to me as a human, I might be able to reach it. And I want to tell you tonight, yes. Yes. And I'm going to tell you this also. It don't matter how far down on the bottom of the scrubby barrel you've been. In the name of Jesus, when you submit your life and heart to God, He'll bring you up, whether it's by the bootstraps or whatever He has to do. He'll get you up. And He'll fill you with power. He'll fill you with grace. He'll fill you with mercy and wonder and glory. And the devil has to shut up. In the name of Jesus. We had a good time this morning. I wasn't with I don't know how many of y'all I was with, but I wasn't with some of y'all. Let's see what we're going to do here. Oh, I remember what we're going to do. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Acts chapter 10, please. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, I better get turning, hadn't I? I done told y'all to get over there. Acts chapter 10. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I want to invite y'all out to the meeting Wednesday. I've been given a word by the Lord Jesus. I was told when I first got here that there was going to be a leadership meeting, but because of the enthusiasm and way God's been moving, they opened it up for everybody. So I'd like to invite you. I would never take away from another church, but I personally believe in the power of a local church. But I don't know what night y'all have services. Wednesday's probably right, but I'd like to invite you out to there. We're going to have a shout and good time. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. I want to read this to you. And I want you to read it out of your own Bible. Make sure I'm not lying to you. It's really funny. People have walked up to me since I've been here and said to me, "It's amazing what's in that Bible, isn't it?" Well, that amazes me that you tell me that. All we got to do is read it, study it, have an open heart, and let the Holy Ghost minister to us, and everybody can be filled with power and glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. That word, that great event, that powerful event, that thing that Jesus did is what we're talking about here. I say, you know, which was published throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Here we go, verse 38. Listen to me really close. It says right here that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Now, lots of people tell me, I don't need that Holy Ghost. I don't need to pray in tongues. I don't need to stay close to the Spirit of God. Well, I'll tell you right now, to me, if you look in your Bible and you see right there and you see that Jesus did, I think it's necessary for you to. He's our supreme example. Everything that we do and say now in Christianity come from His teachings. And I want you to know right now, it's necessary to look at the life of Jesus and then set your life after His life and you'll be great. Jesus. Devils are devils, but Jesus is King. Hallelujah. I don't think y'all ever forget that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What do you anoint Him with? And with. You see that the Word of God separated? I told you that the other night, and y'all didn't believe me, but down now. Look at there. There it is right there. Holy Ghost in power. Now, hold your finger right there. And let's go, you know, every time I preach, I guess y'all notice I'm preaching in Isaiah somewhere. So let's go to Isaiah and look. See what to do about this. There we go. Now then, we got it covered now. All right, go to Isaiah. Y'all have to give me a minute to think about it to find out where I want to go here. I think it's 10. I'm pretty sure it is Isaiah 10. Oh, yes, it is. Isaiah chapter 10. It's been a long day for me. I've been up for a long time. Seeking God this morning and asking God for power and grace and mercy and Holy Ghost in Jesus' name to win souls and heal the sick and cast out devils. And when the devil comes, to confront him and not be afraid of him, regardless of what he says and does. Isaiah chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 27. Pretty famous verse, but that's all right. See, God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus. God anointed Jesus. Say that. God anointed Jesus. Say that again. Say it again. Now say this. I've got Jesus. Say it again. Again. That makes me anointed too. Say that. See there how easy that is? If God anointed Jesus, and we run into Jesus out there in our life one day, He saved us and filled us, then that makes me anointed the same way He's anointed. Do you understand that? If He's anointed, I'm anointed. If He's in me, I'm anointed. If He's in you, you're anointed. See, we say all kind of stuff, and people tell me all the time, oh, they get this real spooky tone of voice. Oh, Brother David, how did you pray for the anointing, brother? Well, I said, hey, Jesus, come here. And he came. Hallelujah. That's how it happened. But everybody says to me, it's too simple. Everything you say is too simple. That's why you're not doing nothing. Because you're not looking at it from the simple standpoint. You got to look at it because God knew we was knuckleheads, and the only way we was going to get it was through simplicity. Simplicity. Simplicity of the gospel is what brings the power of the gospel. It's what looses the anointing of the Holy Ghost through the name of Jesus that God did for Jesus when my Bible says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now look at verse 27. I done broke out and started preaching on y'all, hadn't I? God rather me tell stories than preach, I imagine. Verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day. Say that with me. In that day. In that day. Now say with me, today's that day. For me, today is that day. Now then, now I got you all ready to receive something. What we're going to receive? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. It says that His burden, say that with me, that His burden, whose burden? No, you're wrong. The devil's burden will be lifted off your shoulders. All right? The Bible says that His burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and His yoke shall be His control from off your neck. Do you understand that? It says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of. People ask me all the time, man, is your life like this all the time? Yep. Wow. Must be nice. It can be nice for you the same as it's nice for me. It's not anything that I've paid a price to get that you can't get. I couldn't buy it with nickels and dimes no more than you can. It takes going to God and getting anointed through the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me, church? The Bible says that the yoke of bondage will be destroyed from off your neck because of the anointing, and that comes through Jesus. The Bible says right here, come back over here to Acts chapter 10. I held my place so I wouldn't lose it, you see. How God anointed Jesus. Say that with me again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I'm telling you, the Jesus in me is anointed. The power of God in me is anointed from the Holy Ghost. It says, who went about doing what? And healing what? Now, I want you to get this phrase, because some of y'all don't believe it. The Bible says, healing all that were what? In my opinion, all sickness is an oppression from the devil. So it has to be attacked by the anointing. Lots of people in here, no, you can bring this on yourself, that on yourself. Well, I'm telling you, the only reason you'd bring sickness on yourself is if you was listening to a devil. In the name of Jesus, it says healing all that were oppressed under the power of the devil because God was with him. And I've been telling you ever since I've been here, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Flip back a few pages to Acts chapter 1. Let me read that with you again. I want to, that's why. I tell y'all what, you just never know when the devil's going to jump up. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to be ready. You got to be anointed. You know, I haven't told y'all this very much, but have y'all noticed how many times I didn't tell somebody that was dead? Okay, you dead person, I'll be back. I got to run home and fast for a week. See, I haven't approached that angle to y'all yet. You got to stay ready to cast out devils. You got to stay ready to. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters how you feel about God and how He feels about you. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me, church? You can lose the equations. You just stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. So I was on my way to church one night, and there was this man stopped me on the side of the road. I was driving my four-wheel drive down a trail, and he stopped me on the side of the trail, and he said to me, come here quick. There's a man just got bit by a Mawakiti, and he's going to die. I said, oh, no, he's not going to die. Now, I had been coming down the road in the air conditioner. I hadn't been thinking much about praying for somebody that's dying with Mawakithis. You hear me? Y'all know what a Mawakithi is? That's a fertile ant snake. Now, do you know what it is? Some of you do, most of you don't. A fertile ant snake is the most deadly snake in our hemisphere, Faya, over there. And that snake hit this fella, big old snake, pow, caught him up in the thighs, how big the snake was. And when I went in there, I went running and left my truck sitting there, didn't even turn it off. I just took off running, shoom, because that literally does make a difference in life or death in seconds with that kind of venom. Because those fertile ant snakes are really bad. They're really bad animals. When they hit you, they inject in you a venom. They are a viper snake, and it does hit your system. Most viper snakes affect either your nervous system or your blood system, but this snake here, he's bad boy. It hits both nerves and blood. And so this Indian was laying there dying, I mean in pain. That stuff had got in his system, and the blood was running down his leg, and it was a fresh wound. And I went running in there, got down on my hands and knees, and I didn't suck no poison out. I laid my hands across the top of that hole, those two holes, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I rebuke the devil. And I ask you by the Holy Ghost power through the name of Jesus to neutralize this venom in the name of Jesus. And whatever his body's lacking, whatever assets missing out of him, whatever vitamin, restore it. Make that venom a positive effect on his body in the name of Jesus. See, most of you in there would have never done it. You'd have jerked out your pocket knife, started cutting, trying to squeeze that poison out of there. But it's too late. It was all through his system. And he was laying there still jerking. And I just walked out of the door. Had to go preach the gospel, you see. Went on down the trail, way on down in the mountains a couple more hours. And on the way home that night late, I'm riding down through there, you know, with my big fog lights and my big off-road lights going. Oh, boy, and I got a praise tape in. I'm having a good time. Got my air conditioner on. I was so content and so satisfied because I had preached the gospel. I'm anointed to preach the gospel. I'm anointed to do good things. I'm anointed to heal the sick and to get them all healed that's oppressed to the devil. That's what I'm anointed to do by the name of Jesus. And not because I'm any better than anybody else, but because Jesus is in me. Jesus lives in me. So that's why I'm anointed to do it. Because Jesus is here, you see. And I get down there, I'm getting close to that other village, and I see a man down there in my lights. And I went around the corner, and there he was. He was dancing. Standing out there dancing. And I went on, while I was hurrying. Bum, bum, bum. You know. Got around that corner, and I went running up to him, and he wouldn't move out of the road. He was just dancing. Just dancing. I got out, didn't say a word to him, just started dancing with him. You know how come? Because it was the man that was snake bit. He was healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, thank you, Jesus. I said, I'm telling you, thank you, Jesus. I think it's God to tell you all that story. This next one's going to get you. Got all about it. Acts chapter 1. See, that was Jesus that was anointed. And people can technically tell me theologically, oh, that was Jesus that was anointed. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. And let's just see what it says about us. What does y'all's Bible say? You'll receive what?
Power.
What?
Power.
What you going to receive? When? After the Holy Ghost has come on you. Hey, that's something. I think I'll take that power. Just go ahead and lift your hand up to God and say, thank you for the power, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Because you see, there's times you need power. You don't have time to run home and fast for a month. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to be ready when people need you. You got to be ready because see, power. You know what was wrong with that guy standing there dancing in the middle of the road? He wasn't goofy enough to stand there and let me run over him. He had the Holy Ghost joy on him because of the power that had nailed him and killed that disease in his body, killed that venom, and didn't kill him. He was happy because God had touched him. I'm telling you, there's a joy in the Bible. There's a strength in joy. There's Holy Ghost power for all of us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I tell you, I want you to get saved tonight. I see some of y'all that ain't saved here. I'm looking at you. I see you. And I want you to listen to me and get born again tonight, your night, in Jesus' name, to receive the Holy Ghost power. In the name of Jesus. And you shall receive what? After that, the what? What'd it do? It comes on you. The Holy Ghost comes on you. Blah, blah, blah. That Holy Ghost comes on you. And after you got the power, what you going to do with it? You're going to be a witness. Whether it's Jerusalem, that's a long ways to go to be a witness. Whether it's Judea and Samaria, or whether it's the uttermost parts of the earth, it's all the same. You got a witness for God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? I mean, it's very simple. I had service that night, you see, and I was preparing my truck. I was out there turning wrenches. Boy, it was hot. Must have been about 120 degrees, and I was sweating. I was mad because I was out there on that truck and it was sweating, and I'll be if the Holy Ghost didn't speak to me while I had grease in my nose. I'm serious. I was messing with the differential on my truck and got grease all over my face. And I mean, the Holy Ghost said, get up, clean yourself up, and go out to Claudio's house in Wawaco. So I went in yonder. I said, no problem. I got out of that truck. I walked in yonder. I told my wife, get me some things together. I got to go right now because the Holy Ghost just spoke to me. I got to go to Claudio's house. She said, I thought she was going to be here till at least 3 o'clock this afternoon. I said, well, that's because I was. But God changed my plan, my itinerary. So I got to do what He says, not what I have written on a piece of paper. She said, all right. So I got dressed. Went out there, I called up a couple of the other missionaries that was with me. I said, come on, guys. Holy Ghost spoke to me. Y'all are going with me. I'm drafting you. So we went. We got out there, and I had to park my truck a good ways away from him. He didn't know I was coming. No, nobody knew it but God. Now, this is really good. Now, this is really good. Because some of y'all here have been in accidents. You've been in car wrecks. You've had these diseases cripple your body and break y'all up. You've had broken bones, broken backs, broken everything. All right? I'm going to really tell you something right now. God is no respecter of persons, and He touched these. I mean, this is good. I went walking up to that hut. It was a good ways in there. I hiked into that village, and I got there, and I'm standing there. I still don't know why I'm there, and I'm standing there. And he comes walking out from around his house and looked and saw me. And why he did that, to this day, neither one of us know why he did that. But we was walking. I was walking across his little patio, his little bitty yard, you know, and I was walking toward him. And I just fell down on my knees and started worshiping God. I had no idea why I was there. Just lifted my hand up to God, lifted my voice up to Jesus. And then he come right up to me, knelt down right in front of me. He just started speaking in tongues, just like me. Chata kate lele ba rase talaba. It's one of my main pastors, and he's a blessing from God. I've been working with him about 17 years. He's a good guy. And we was praying together. We stayed out in that hot sunshine for a long time praying and seeking God. And then in a minute we got up and went around the corner and just got around the corner of his house, and his wife had come out there to offer me some lemonade. And I was just sitting down, and there was somebody at the gate hollered, "Ho, hermano, ven pa acá," which means, brother, come here. And so he stood up. He went around the corner. He didn't say nothing to me nor to that other guy. And went around there, let him in, and here he comes walking around the corner. So I got up just to go see who it was. Went around the corner of the house, his little, out of his patio thing there. And I went around the corner, And there's one of my other pastors done walked for 4 hours. Nobody knew I was going to be there. I didn't know I was going to be there. And when he saw me, he fell down on the ground and just started right in the dirt, face down, crying and weeping and thanking God for the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? I tell you that the Holy Ghost power come on you if you'll let it. I tell you that you're anointed if you've got Jesus, because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil. That's what my Bible says. And then it says right here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and you, that's me, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you. So I have to say, come on me, Holy Ghost. Come on, get me. Do anything you want to. If you want me to fly, I'd like it. Let's go. Touch me, God. But if you want me to hike those mountains, I'll hike them. I don't care. People tell me all the time, well, why don't you got so much faith? Why don't you tell those mountains to be gone and be cast into the sea? If you're such a smart aleck, why don't you come do it if I ain't got enough faith? I'd just soon walk them. I have spoken to them before, but they didn't obey me. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. And to be a witness. And I went out there in that sunshine with my brother. And I mean, I got a hold of him and we started speaking in tongues. And next thing you know, I was weeping with him and we was crying and weeping and we was laughing. Oh, hallelujah. It was wonderful to see each other. But the reason he was happy to see me wasn't because he was happy to see me. It was because of Jesus in me. He needed the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And why he needed the anointing was very, very, it's going to leave an impression on your life, I'll tell you. Because you see, he had been out early in the morning out in the field. And his wife fixed him up a little meal. She fixed him up a few tacos. She put him in a little basket and she's carrying them to him. Now this lady is 73 years old. And she's going up this hill. It's a pretty good mountain, I guess. And she's climbing up that mountain. Thing is, there's a 1,000-foot drop over here. The first drop is the first place where, you know how mountains slant like this? First drop is about 45 feet off that hill, off that trail. All of us, when we go up that trail, we're very careful. But the problem is, this day, she was going up that mountain and it was a clear day. It wasn't any mud. It wasn't slicky. But a horse jumped off the cliff up here from beside her and bumped her off that mountain. And she went spinning down that mountain, and when she hit three rocks face down. Broke all the bones in her upper body. Burst several organs. Busted her mouth all to pieces, blood and guts, boy. But she wasn't quite dead. Just almost. And the brother had started running toward, now you gotta get this, the brother had started running toward Claudio's house. That was when God spoke to me. And that's when I went to Claudio's house. And that's why we got there at the same time. And he said to me, my wife's almost dead. You gotta come. I said, no problem, buddy. And we laid hands on that man in the name of Jesus. And I told him I'll be there early in the morning. You don't worry. See, all y'all say to me, what's wrong with you? You don't care about people in their pain. Shut up. You're one to talk, you materialistic devil, you. You don't be hollering and screaming at me about what I do. I'm getting results. You stay home and watch TV, okay? Yeah, you're right. I do have an attitude about it. People want to all tell me what to do, but nobody wants to get out there and help me do it. That does give you an attitude. And I'm here to encourage you and rebuke you and establish the things of God with you. But you're going to have to let Jesus be your Lord and King, not some other thing or invention. And so I told him, I said, man, I got to go right now to church. I said, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to send Claudio here with you, and y'all go back over there, and y'all hold a prayer vigil all night long, and she's not going to die. God's not going to let her die. I'm going to touch her, and she's going to raise up from there in the name of Jesus. So they took off, and I went to church. And early in the morning, I get up, and I gather up some men, some of my missionaries too, and some of the other pastors, and we get there, and this woman is, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. One of the closest people to death I've ever seen without being dead. She was, y'all, I'll tell you, I'm glad y'all didn't see her. Black and blue, I mean, bones broke all over her face, arms, shoulders, collarbones, all of her ribs, what is this bone called right here in the middle? Sternum. It was broke half in two. Are y'all listening to me at all? An organ, she's passing blood, her ears, her eyes, her mouth, her nose, everywhere. She's passing blood everywhere. She was flooding. I mean, she's an old grandma, and she was flooding, and boy, I felt sorry for her. And she had served me and the gospel for so many years. Oh, God, please, God, don't let her die, God, in the name of Jesus. So we set into prayer and fasting and asking God to touch grandma in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you, when those older bones like that are so brittle, I'll tell you, you know, it's hard to have faith for that. I want you to know that right up front. But I'm going to tell you this also. It don't matter what's hard. It matters what the Bible says. It matters what the Bible says. Now, turn with me here to, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, this is good. Is this not good or what? 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's start here. We'll start in verse 3 and read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think He ought to be blessed. That's what I think. I think you and I ought to bless Him. Let's just do it again like we did last night. Let's just bless Him. Come on, go ahead. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God, we bless You. God, we praise You. God, we worship You. Hallelujah. God, we praise You. God, we worship You. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us unto a lively hope. I tell you, you're alive, church. You're not dead. Don't you let no devil make you believe you're dead. You're alive. Jesus is with you. God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says. The Bible says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's the only God. He's the only person that told us to worship Him. All them other gods is dead. Mary's dead. Hare Krishna, they're all dead. Buddha, they're all dead. Jesus is the only one that claims to have come back from the dead. You understand that? And I feel sorry for you if you worship in a God that's dead. My God's alive. That's why I'm so lively. That's why y'all see me lively. Because I got a lively hope in me, the Lord Jesus. God raised Him from the dead. God anointed Him. God filled Him with power and told Him to go do good stuff. And when He come in me, He told me, go do good stuff, boy. Yes, sir. You got it. Good stuff in Jesus' name. It says right here, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. I don't know how you people can love Jesus so much one day, and the next day you don't love Jesus so much, you love the devil the most. I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. Because the Bible says that what I've got, my lively hope, is undefiled and it does not fade away. I don't understand up and down. I understand Jesus. There's all kinds of emotions and all kinds of demons, and they're always messing with me just like they do with you. But the Bible says I'm alive. The Bible says power's on me after the Holy Ghost come on me. The Holy Ghost is on me. Power's on me. Got to get your attitude adjusted. That Holy Ghost is an adjuster. Look at verse 5. It says to me, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Do you understand that? There's demons, there's sicknesses, there's diseases that come after me, that come after my family, but the Bible says that we are kept through the power of God. By faith. And I'll tell you right now, that's a blessing. It's joy. And look at this. I want you to look here in verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. See, look at this. Even though now for a season, even back when Peter was writing the Bible, there were seasons of times of trial and tribulation for the church. And we think we're so different. We think we're the first generation that had to put up with all this garbage. Problem is, you're the first generation that was so much a spoiled brat, maybe. We got to give all that up, church. We got to walk in the lively hope of the gospel. We got to realize God raised Jesus from the dead. We got to realize that power abides in us, and it's an ever abiding thing when we're on our knees to God Almighty. He's with us. He's with us, and He wants us to go around doing good too. It says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith. Thank God for the trial of my faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes away. You know, y'all are, most of the people that I know are seeking after gold. Boy, they want more money. They want more materialism. They want more stuff. It's a perishable thing you're after, but what I'm after is eternal. And it says right here, though it be tried by fire, there's not enough fire out there to stop the Holy Ghost. There's not a big enough demon out there to stop the Holy Ghost. It don't matter what his name is. He's got to submit to Jesus. Really makes people nervous when I go to talking like this. That we might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. Do you understand that? Praise and honor. Ever since I've been here, I've been telling you to praise God. Ever since I've been here, I've been telling you to honor the Lord Jesus. To lift Him up. To give Him glory. He's due it. He's worthy. That's all you got to do. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Look at verse 8. Even though I hadn't seen Him yet, I love Him. And though now ye see Him not, I believe. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God. I tell you, the joy of God's on me. And I know y'all have seen it. Joy brings strength. Strength is power. Power is from God. It's anointing of the Holy Ghost. You understand that? In the name of Jesus. 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 Go with me to Nehemiah, please. Oh, wait. I got to tell you all about Grandma. I got her down, but she's not up. She's got to get up. I forgot all about telling you about Grandma. Well, here she is. She's laid out over there. Everything about her is broke all to pieces. All the front of her body's broke all up. Y'all, she was really hurt. I mean, the bones in her arms were broke. I mean, she was broke all to pieces. She's a little bitty thing. She's not that tall. Little bitty thing. But when that horse come off that mountain, he was running from something. He bumped her with his shoulder. Shoo! Broke all to pieces. We all went over there and prayed. We went and fasted, and we asked God to heal. We asked God to save. Well, I left her there. She was in the same condition that she was. But I went away, went to some more services that evening, and the next day another one, next day another one. About 3 or 4 days later, I come back, and I had set up with them, look, I've got to be gone to services, but I'll be back on this day. But y'all don't let up. Y'all keep somebody here praying for her 24 hours a day, reading the Bible to her. It don't matter if she's unconscious, it don't matter what it is, but you keep somebody here reading the Holy Word of God to that lady. Y'all turn to Nehemiah 8. Please. Very famous verse also. But I tell you right now, buddy, when God comes into place, there is strength in the joy of God. I'll tell you right now, there's power in the name of Jesus. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is unequaled. There's nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Hurasata. Nothing. It says right here in verse 9, Nehemiah 8, 9. Oh, I got to tell you, about that 34th day when I went back over there, I got out of my truck. I drove in their village, Pasukatempa. I can ride right up to their house. I drove right up to their house, got out of that thing. And guess who met me at the door? Grandma. Guess what was wrong with her? Nothing. Every bone was healed. Every bone was healed in her body. All the organs were healed. The bleeding had stopped. Her face was healed. She fixed me something to eat. I sat down and ate with them. It happened, I tell you. And any of y'all that want to challenge me, I invite you to Mexico. I challenge you back. Just jump on the plane. Let's go about 9 or 10,000 miles and I'll prove what I'm saying. Verse 9 says, Nehemiah, which is the so-and-so and the Ezra priest, the scribe of the so-and-sos, that taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And I want you to listen to me. There's no reason for you to weep and to mourn and to howl because you've been making mistakes, because you've been lax, because you've been not been faithful, you've been kind of complacent to God. Don't you be pulling none of this here condemnation. That's not what I'm here for, to condemn you. I'm here for you can see somebody that really does seek after God and that anybody can go and seek God and it can happen for you. God can. The Bible says here in verse 10, then he said to them, go away, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them that don't have any, for this is a holy day to the Lord, and don't be sorrowful. I'll tell you, tonight's a holy night. I'm telling you, it's not time to be sorrowful. It's time to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Filled with the joy of the Lord. Filled with the Holy Ghost power of the Lord. Filled with the glory of the blessings of God. The Bible says, because the joy of the Lord, that's where your strength is. You got to maintain that joy. And I mean them devils are pecking on you, messing with you, constantly to take that joy away from you. But you got to let that Holy Ghost flow on you. You got to not take stuff personal. It's devils after God. Do you understand that? I'm telling you, that's right. If I can talk you into it, we're going to beat up the devil in a minute. We're going to beat him up. In the name of Jesus. Hey, if you thought that one was rough, wait till I tell you this one. There was a baby born to one of my pastors there in a village beside Pasukatempa. This is for all y'all that y'all been saying, well, he's been talking about all these wild, dead raising stuff, but when it comes down to broken bones or babies born that are deformed and stuff like that, I ain't heard a peep out of him. Well, here we come. Here, I'm after you, see. There was a baby born that didn't have any palates. All they had was nodes or lumps up there in the top and under the tongue. There was no depression. There was no gums. Y'all call them gums? Well, in the north, in our country, they call them goons. So, I don't call them goons. I call them gums. And there was no teeth. And so the pastor, you know, a normal process of time went by, and the baby didn't start eating right, and the baby didn't have any way to eat, and they started noticing that all that meat that was supposed to be here for the gums ended up being in the middle of, under the tongue, piled up. Instead of being a nice pallet up in the top where you have your plate for your teeth, there was a lump of meat in the middle of the mouth up at the top, but there was no development taking place. So I went there and that pastor told me to come. So I went by there and this baby was old now. It was over a year old. He said, man, something's wrong with my baby. I said, it looks great to me. He said, yeah, but it can't eat right. And he opened that baby's mouth. And he said, see in here? And I looked in there with my flashlight. I said, yep, got trouble. I said, so what do you want to do about it? He said, well, I want you to pray for my baby because I want God to heal my baby. I want my baby to have normal teeth like the rest of us so she can enjoy this food that we have that's so good here. But that was his opinion. I mean about how good the food is. And so, well, that's good. It's not poisonous. It just tastes different to me. And so, see, the joy of the Lord is just... find no palates, and you don't find those gums, you don't find any teeth, it'll mess up with your mind a little bit. You understand that? But you got to let the joy of the Lord overtake all that stuff. And so we begin to worship God and praise God. We laid hands on that baby in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, I ask for you to make this baby normal. I ask you for this baby to be healed. I ask you to create gums. I ask you to create teeth in the name of Jesus. And y'all, I went to the United States to renew papers, to get a new visa and all such as that. It took me about a month, month and a half. And I come back. I went out to where all my pastors was. And he come in there, he brought me there to where his wife was. And they had another baby that was sick. He said, we want you to pray for my baby. I said, we already prayed for your baby, didn't we? He said, no, this is another one. So I said, all right, brought another one out. Prayed for her in the name of Jesus. She only had a dysentery. You know, that's easy to heal in Jesus' name. We prayed for it in Jesus' name. And then they brought out that other baby. Said, you remember praying for this one? I said, yeah. I said, what is it? And I'll tell you what, there was teeth in that baby's mouth. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Boy, now that's good. I like that. I wouldn't stick my finger back in his mouth again, though. I just wouldn't do it. Now, look over here. I want you to go with me here to John chapter 16, please. I'm talking about the power of God, and I'm talking about the power of God brings joy. I'm talking about the anointing of God. It brings excitement. It brings strength to the body of Christ. You got to let that strength cultivate. You got to let that strength grow. You can't let it die. Do you understand that? It doesn't come through me. It comes through Jesus. I'm not the owner of the joy of the Lord. I'm just a participant like you. Do you get it? Jesus is the joy of God. Jesus. You got to get that. Because if you don't, when I leave, you're going to get miserable. Where are we at? Where did I tell y'all to go? John 16, didn't I? What verse? Come on. Verse 20. John 16, verse 20. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know what y'all think about me and all these wild miracles, you know, but I don't care. I didn't do it. I'm not an explainer. I'm just a reporter. I want you to always remember that about yourself. You don't have to explain God. You understand that, Peter? You don't explain God. You report on what He's doing. People tell me, yeah, but what if and all that? I don't know. I don't have an answer for all them yeah, buts. Yeah, buts to me are devils. Goats, buts, sheep just follow Jesus. I don't know about the yeah, buts and what ifs and whys and all. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I know about Jesus. I know that I get around all these real fancy men of God a lot now because I'm starting to get in these circles and all these circles of power, and they ask me all these theological questions, and I look at them. You did what? Who did? He didn't. Did he really do that? And they look at me. God, what hole did he come out of? See, I'm not into those cliques and all of that stuff. What I'm into is Jesus. What I'm into is how can I get somebody some help? Do you understand? People are always making up doctrines. I'll say something, they'll make a doctrine of it. Split it up three ways. Jeez. Amazing. Amazing. John chapter 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, oh no, I gotta do something first. I gotta tell y'all about them marbles. Almost slipped my mind. But I caught it. Y'all know what marbles are? Little marbles you play with? I challenge you. I'm good with marbles. I like to play marbles. Me and the Indians play all the time. I go out to the village early just so I can play marbles with them. Look at here. There was a girl, 15 years old. Her parents had paid the witch doctor, but they didn't pay them allotted amount. Y'all hear me? So the witch doctor, he gets hostile. He casts a spell on the family. This 15-year-old girl gets demon-possessed. I mean, you're not going to... This is good. She gets demon-possessed. She runs out through the woods naked and all these people trying to hold her. 10-11 men could not subdue that girl. They had to catch her in a net. A 15-year-old young girl. They brought her home and tied her down with ropes and subdued her with chains. They brought in all the exorcists. They brought in all the witch doctors. No good. So they went and got us. So we went over there. I want you to know something. If you ain't never seen it, you ought to see somebody pop marbles in their mouth and chew them up. Boy, it hurts my teeth just to think of it. And I'm talking about grinding to dust. She could break ropes and chains, whip me. It was really an amazing thing. And when we got there, walked in there, several Americans and several Indian pastors, all the opposition. This is the exorcist and all these other people. They're all there. They're chanting their evil spirits against us. Because they don't want us to win, because if we do, we make them look foolish. Do you get it? See, all of y'all won't even pray for somebody if the mood ain't right, baby. Let's cleanse the area. Praise the Lord. You'll never cleanse the area around those guys. There's so many demons there, you'd pray to you, he's blue in the face. There's always another one jumping his place. Demon after demon. Forget it. Just go to the girl. Look her right in the face. And try what Jesus said. See if it'll work on devils. I adjure you by the power of God to come out of her in Jesus' name. He didn't come out. Those chains and them ropes that was tied on that girl. Uh-oh. Getting interesting. She sits up, looks right in the face, and she says, in English. Girl never spoke English in her life. And she sits up in English. This is the devil talking. I know who y'all are, but you're not going to get me. That's when you say, you're scared or you never talk to us. If you wasn't nervous of the power of God we've got, you'd have never spoken to us, devil. Now in the name of Jesus, you come out of her by the power of the gospel of God Almighty. The precious blood that dripped off that cross was for that girl you're possessing. Now you get out and don't you ever come back. In the name of Jesus! Bam! She passed out. They thought we'd killed her. But we didn't kill her. Just look over to Mama and you say, Mom, get her some clothes. She's all right now. And she woke up completely delivered by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's God. See, the Bible says here in verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that you'll weep and you'll lament, but the world will rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. There will be times that things will happen to you, and you will lament, and you will be sorrowful, and you, because you're human, you don't want to be that way, but that's just the way it goes. I apologize to you. You can't escape from being a human. But my Bible says that God will turn that weeping into joy. My Bible says that God will turn that sorrow into joy unspeakable, filled with the glory of God. All right, you ready? So this passage is what's wrong with me. I want all y'all to know that. What's wrong with him? When somebody says it, just turn over to John 16 and read them verse 20, 21, and 22, and that'll explain to them what's the matter with me. Because the Bible says a woman, when she is travailed, has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as the delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish or the pain or the labor, for the joy that a man is born into the world. Now, verse 22. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. I'll see you again. I'll see you again. I'll see you again. I'll tell you right now, Jesus won't leave you. You can count on him. He will show up in a minute. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. All these death situations I've been in, where they've tried to kill me all these times, I hadn't told y'all very many of them, but there's lots of them. All of them, they stand there, they're trying to kill you. You can just smile at them. Because they can't kill you. Unless God's through with you, then goodbye. See ya. But what if God's not through with you? Boy, it'll scare them because they can't kill you, I'll tell you that. They've clicked guns in on us several times. They've swung at us with machetes and couldn't chop us because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. I want to tell you two stories here, and we're going to quit. But look, let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians. Or is it 2 Corinthians? Let me look on this paper here. Oh, yeah, it is 1 Corinthians. You see, I was down in South America. I hadn't told y'all much about the work in South America either. There's just not enough time to tell y'all everything. There's not enough time. There's been so many visions and things of God that would keep you on the edge of your seat. Just bless you. Oh, you'd just be blessed. But maybe I'll get to come back some other time and talk to you about some of this stuff. And it says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, we was in South America. And we were hiking. Now you got to understand, we were in a four-wheel drive, and we went 11 or 12 hours in the four-wheel drive. We left early in the morning, and then we started hiking. We rode all day long. Bounce, 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 bounce in that four-wheel drive. All day, all day, all day, all day, all day. Bounce, 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 bounce. Then you get out of the four-wheel drive, and then you put on your backpack, because you're going to be gone for about 6 days up in the mountains. And these mountains are 21,000 feet tall. They're not foothills, they're mountains. Full blown. And we started hiking at about 17,000. And we were hiking, hiking, hiking. Oh boy, it's miserable. There's not any oxygen up there. Oh God, help me, help me. But you see, we was on the way to a particular village. Oh, this is good. And we hiked for several hours. Now, it's nightfall now. And night's falling around us. It's getting cold. It's way below freezing again. And the snow is right there all around us. We're up in the part of the world where the snow never melts. And the people are there. And we went to the elders of the village. We asked them, could we please spend the night in y'all's village? They said, no. Oh, no, that's not good. Well, all we are is preachers. You can't stay here. We don't trust y'all. We don't know who you are. So we're sitting there now. They all left. And now we're sitting down and there's nowhere to go. Oh, this is a bad feeling. But see, it doesn't matter how lonely you feel. It doesn't make a difference how cold it is outside. It don't matter how much snow and ice is around. It doesn't make any difference the amount of fatigue that's in your body. Jesus is with you. See, I'm talking to you now about something that you people don't understand. Y'all think it's bad when it's raining and you have to go to church for 15 minutes. In a car and drive up under a shed and get let out. Poor things. Your favorite TV show's coming on, you got to go to church. Why can't they see that they need to move the church time? Poor little babies. God help us. Please, God help us. Change our attitude and our thought patterns, God. Allow them to be after the God Almighty. Amen? Well, there was a young boy. He was 16 years old. Young man standing over there. He had been listening to the whole thing. He come over there and looked me right in the face. He said, I realize the elders of my village told you couldn't stay here. He said, but we need you in my house. I said, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we all, it was about, I don't know, six or eight of us. We had our backpacks on. We packed behind that kid. We went over there to his house. They let us stay in their potato shed. Potatoes rotten, they stink. But it's a place out of the cold. It's a place away from the dangers of thieves and such as that, you understand? So we all made us a lumpy bed. We was just bedding down. He said, you, come here. This was that kid again. So I got up and I went over there. I said, what do you want? He said, you got to come with me inside the main house. But I don't want nobody else but you and one more guy. So I chose the guy that's heading up our work in Bolivia. I said, come with me, man. Rest of them, I told them, y'all go to bed. So we went over in this house. Y'all, when I walked in that door, I'm telling you, oh my goodness, death was there. The main reason they didn't want us staying in their village was because there was a fever called dengue fever. Y'all ever heard of it? It'll kill you, church. Very contagious, especially when it's in the blood stage, which is right before you die. And there on the ground lay five people dying with dengue fever. And they said, this boy said, I heard you talking about a God that could heal this. Do it. I looked at him, I said, no problem, Captain. So me and that guy, we knelt down there. We drawed them people up to us. I mean, blood and guts all over us. Blood all over our clothes. This stuff's contagious. You understand? But Jesus, the anointing of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You fear nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. You got the joy of the Lord in you. It doesn't matter that you've been going now for hour upon hour. You've ridden all day long. You've hiked all day long. And you're fatigued. You're wore out. And the cold has got you. The high altitude has sapped all your energy. But you got people here dying. In the morning, they're not going to be here. They're going to be stiff corpses. We prayed for everybody in that room. They brought us to another house. Same thing. Floor was filled with people dying with dengue fever. We got on our hands and knees, went through every one of them. Then we got up and went back to that house, a little tater shed. I went up down. Because of the hiking, you get all sopping wet with sweat. So you change your clothes and you get up in that sleeping bag. You zip that thing up. You don't even know it. You just shut your eyes and boom. You're so tired. Well, I just can't explain that to y'all. But somehow or another, I could feel somebody watching me. And I opened my eyes, and there that boy was. It was still dark outside. I didn't know what time it was. He was sitting in the window watching us. So I raised up. I said, what do you want, boy? You, come with me. So I looked at my watch. It was 4:30 in the morning. So I woke up the other guy, and I said, look here. I realize what time it is, but this nut wants us to go back in that house for some reason. Y'all know what long johns are? So I had my hiking boots on and long johns. That was it. So I go traipsing across there through the snow. No, it's really happened. All I got on is my hiking boots and my little, you know what them stocking caps are. I said, there's a young man here had one on a while ago. And I go traipsing across through there. I look back and there come my friend just like me. That was so funny looking. We went in there, and when we walked inside that house, that place was alive with energy. All of them people were healed. All of them. All of them. Is that not something? Everybody we touched in that village with dengue fever was healed, 100%. Wow. All of y'all say to me, Brother Hogan, what's your technique for starting churches? Really? Hey, it's easy. Just cast out the devils and you got instant church. You heal about 20 people filled with incurable disease, you ain't got to worry about them following you. They'll follow you to the death. Ha! Well, this is pretty good stuff, isn't it? I'm glad I had the opportunity to live it. I'm glad I'm having the opportunity to tell you about it. I'm glad because you'll never be the same. You may be mad and a hornet at me, that's all right, but you'll never be the same. See, you'll preach this to other people, trying to make fun of it, but you're going to preach and somebody's going to be touched. Most of you in here, though, are really blessed because I feel the Spirit of God on you, and I'm glad I do. It's a blessing. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm talking about, what do you think it was like inside that hut that morning? Do you reckon there was a little bit of joy in there? See, when the anointing comes, joy comes. See, there's freedom. There's release. There's energy. And it's self-propagating. It keeps going. But you got to let it go. Don't stop it because you may or may not understand exactly everything that's going on. There's lots of times I've almost quit. Well, there's a few times I have quit. And I miss God. But I'll tell you, the most of the time we don't quit. We let it go. It does get a little different every now and then. But that's all right. That's all right. Verse 18. Some people are puffed up, just like I wouldn't come again. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord Jesus wills, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. See, they were having the same trouble back yonder in the beginning of the church. People were being puffed up with knowledge and they weren't being filled with power. Knowledge, anybody can get knowledge, but who can spend the time with God to get His anointing? See, I'm telling you, there's a difference. How do you think it's possible for me to come here and these churches work together and they believe different things? How is it possible to come here and draw people together? Because people are hungry for the anointing. Theology, we've got plenty of that. It don't get us very far. Vision, we got enough to sink every ship out here in this harbor. But where's the anointing? It's in Jesus. It's in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's in men and women that learn to submit themselves to the name and power of Jesus. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Because look at verse 20. I mean, this is a very awesome verse. Verse 20 says it just like this. The kingdom of God is not in word, comma, but power. See, all you people think y'all are so powerful and y'all really something because you can quote a bunch of verses. Well, don't take this too offensively. You can take it somewhat offensively. But if you read the New Testament, you'll find that the devil can quote the Bible. What do you think you are just because you quote Bible verse? It's the power that makes the difference in the individual. It's the Holy Ghost power. It's the Holy Ghost power. We got to go for it. Do you understand that? I said, are y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. Y'all can put y'all's Bibles up in them fancy little cases you got. Let me make sure that's everything I wanted to tell you. Okay. All right, now y'all calm down a little bit. Don't be so noisy here. Let's worship Jesus. What I've come to see about being around people is a bunch of talking. Don't ever get the Holy Ghost here. Praise is what brings the Holy Ghost around. Worship in the name of Jesus is what brings the Holy Ghost around. Do you understand that? Do y'all understand that? All right. You see, there's this village I went to. I'm going to tell you this at the end because it has great significance in my life. I had always been under the impression that God had the power by the Holy Ghost. You musicians, y'all can come on up here. Y'all can come on up and start getting ready. Yeah, go right on ahead. You're not going to interrupt me. I mean, man, when the donkeys come to my village, to my church, they don't interrupt me. Y'all are not going to. Unless you bray like one, then I'll rebuke you. Because I do them. But look at here. I went to this village in Bolivia. One of the greatest honors of my life, y'all. It was phenomenal. We had hiked for several days. I don't know, it was day 4 or 5. I don't remember. But I was wiped out. We'd been hiking for days preaching the gospel. Days in that high altitude in those high mountains. And I went through this village. And this guy comes running up to me. I promise you this happened, all right? He comes running up. He said, "Are you them?" I said, "Am I who? Are you them people that bring God?" I said, "I bring God." So he took off running. Got the bell in the town. Bow, bow, bow. I thought, oh my God. Because in Mexico, when that bell starts ringing, you're in trouble. They're calling together people. They're gonna kill you. They're going to try to. But listen here. The whole village came. There was a few people out in the fields, but everybody that was there, they came. And they surrounded me. And I'm sitting there. And I'm, what do you people want? We want your God. What? Say, my Spanish is really good, but I thought I had missed it. I said, tell me again. What do you people want? Well, we've all talked about it. We've heard about all the miracles of God that's around. We don't know anything about your God, but we want your God in our village. Y'all, I've never seen anything like it. I never have. Now we've got several villages like this, but that was my first one to see. It really gave me faith. Boy, I'll tell you right now, you know what? Pastor, this entire town can come to Jesus. It can. I've seen it. There were hundreds of people around me praying for salvation at one time. The whole village got born again at once, and I never preached the gospel to them. Man. I'm telling you, it's the anointing you're looking for. It's not a man, it's the anointing of God. It's the anointing, and I just ask you to reach out and touch it. Go ahead, church. Reach out, church. If you have a need of any kind, you reach out and touch the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Y'all can start off on something, but I need you to go to the blood of Jesus in a minute. All right? You really do play that piano well. Just worship Jesus. Go ahead. And I'd like to ask you to stand up. Please. If you're here and you do not have... Go ahead and worship God. But if you're here and you don't have Jesus as Lord of your life, I want to ask you to come up here with me, please. Please.